Okay. The parable of the sower is what I'd like to discuss today. But I want you to take a moment to see it from a position of it addressing me, addressing you. We tend to read it with a perspective of, here's a guy I reached out to. He didn't get it. The next guy didn't get it. The third guy got it but was chalked out. And the other one was really the disciple. I want to change that up and explain that we're all in that category of what happens. We're going to discuss together and figure out why do we get stuck on the path? And why do we get stuck on the rock? And why do we get stuck in the weeds? And how do we come to this other place? I believe in my life, I've been in all those areas. I go through all that and come back and I'm changing and I'm walking on that. And I believe it's the same for all of us. So please be open as we read it from a Christian point of view and not from, oh, then that's the guy out there that needs to change. No, it's us. The Word of God is being put out Sundays, midweeks, places. And we may be in one of those quantums of the path, the rock, the weed, or the one that's multiplying. Matthew 13. I don't have the scriptures up today, so we're going to be walking with pictures. I'll be reading most of that today. So if you didn't bring your Bible, today is a bad day for you. Because I'm not putting it up over there. Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on shore. Then he told them many things in a parable, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. I'll stop there. We'll start building this conversation here. So the parable of the sower, he speaks to them and he's speaking to the disciples. He explains to them what's going to happen. I mean, what happens to people when you bring out the Word of God? And that's you and I. We hear the Word of God, and when you've heard it so many times, you can be here. That's what it's spread around Sundays everywhere. I mean, God speaks to you even with just the weather, just the trees, the stars. God speaks so loudly, not just with the word, just with people, circumstances, things around you, if you pay attention. And when you're not paying attention, probably something has happened to the heart. And that brings me to that. Some seed fell by the path, and the birds came and devoured it. If you understand the path is a well-used by foot, normally it's a footpath for the most part. It's used a lot, or a horse, or whatever, that is so hard that by the time you put anything, that cannot grow. So if you think about that, that it's been used so many times that it's hardened, it applies to us. That sometimes we've been in the Word and heard it so many times that we've hardened if we're that path. That we've been on this road of worship God for 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years, that sometimes it doesn't penetrate. It hits and there's a path. It says, and the birds came and devoured them. What are the birds that devour things in us? What are the birds? That's the question. Let's discuss that. What are the birds? I know you're smiling. You got to have one coming out.
The daily routine. You know, the world gets in the way.
It's a daily grind. It picks up. Before you know it, man, you don't even pay attention to the word. Jobs. They just pick up, yeah. I know this already. I was reading this, and I said to myself, there's no way I'm going to say I know this scripture already. I preached on this scripture so many times. I said, I need to get convicted. And I said, you know, this is can apply to me in all facets of it. Sorry, yes, Zach.
I was going to say history.
History.
The things that I've been through, experiences I've had.
Experience has a way of dulling you, I mean, making you dull. I tell people I don't like to talk about my experience. I've done this, I've done that. I say, yeah, but how does that connect you to God right now? Don't get me wrong. I value experience, your resume. Don't get me wrong. You've been working 10, 15, 20 years. I value that. Danny, I value how long you've done that work. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying, when you're dealing with God, you've got to be fresh with it. There's value for experience, but there's a value for being current right there. There were many hands that came up here when I went this way. There were many hands that were up here. Yes. Worries. He said worries and he had said bills. Those two go together. When is the next bill coming? And worries are coming. And then we get so wound up with bills that we're not sensitive to God's word because we want to survive the day, the year, the retirement, whatever it is we're chasing. Yes, Dave. We get lazy. That's the bird. It just, you don't want to. And with today, I don't know if you know that if you spend too much time scrolling, you also become quite impatient with looking for stuff because everything was on the button. You can't kind of go under the bed and check things out. You got no time for that. It's on the button. You got no time to dig out stuff and say, okay, well, how do you research this stuff? You don't want to do that. So if we just become way more lazy. Yes. Yeah. Selfish pride. It's another bad.
Shallow study.
Let me stay there for a moment. When is the last time you did a study that was changing you? For the most part, we read the Bible. So I'll give that to you, no question. But to what extent are you changing? To what extent is this hitting you so hard you're like, man, I got to change about how I behave around here. I mean, sometimes I'm reading the Bible, I say, man, it seems like I've been dull a few days. I need to catch up with this. What's going on here? To what extent do you allow that to begin to challenge your soul? Because that is when transformation takes place. Now, it can be every day, but you can hone on something that does that for you for the year. I remember studying out the heart once for 6 months, just the heart. Guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life. And guard your heart. And I'm like, what is that? What is that? And that study changed my life for such a long time. I was my first year in the ministry, and I said, if I don't watch my heart, this thing can take me the wrong side. And for 6 months, all study out was the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. Anything I could figure out, including meditation. Just, I got to figure out, what did he say? Why did he say it like that? We've got to go deeper. You know, what is that? If you've read the Outliers, it says, what brought you here will not take you to the next level. You cannot maintain. You have to grow. We are not in a maintenance status quo business. We are a growing people. That's when we touch community. We touch the world. We bring it to Christ. There are many hands. Yes, Scott, then I'm coming to Steve. Worldly relationships. All of a sudden, the church is not very attractive. We want to keep more worldly relationships than the church. We're not influencing it. It's influencing us. Don't get me wrong. You can have friends in the world, but are you influencing them or is it the other way around? Right. Steve.
Broadening the same thing as worldly desires.
Worldly desires. Let me make it very clear. I have nothing against you having a billion or having a Maserati, whatever you like. I have a problem when that becomes your God. That is the problem. So don't get us wrong. It says they preached poverty over there. We didn't preach in that. We're saying, who is Lord of your life? That's all we're talking about. We have nothing against your goodies and all that. All that stuff I'm happy for. What a question though is, why is that becoming your God? It shouldn't be. Your God should be God. And that's part of shallow study. And that is what, as men, we're the most challenged people. Because it's harder to help a man to know God than women. Why? Because we quickly take up on the shallow stuff of status. The better watch, the better car, the better whatever. And we've got to do a better job being spiritual, then we can win the world and bring them in. Now, no insecurity if you have a good watch. Good. Yes, it's okay. Failures and disappointments. Anyone in the 38 going upwards, you know what we're talking about? If you're 38 upwards, you start thinking about your failures and disappointments. And you can look at your life and think, what did I do with my life? And that can take you away from God. You see, I'm a minister. I reach out to a lot of people. I'm telling you, those people, some of them are hugely successful. If I'm not careful, that can get me. But I chose to be a minister. My history is in you guys. It is not in anything you can see. It's not in anything you can see. My history is in you guys. When I die, I say I serve these people. If they ever mention me, no big deal. If they do, amen. Whatever they do, I'm happy either way. But there's nothing I can point to. Yes, Steve.
Hidden sin.
Gentlemen. Let's talk about that. Hidden sin hardens your heart, becomes the path. We are afraid to talk about our sin because we're very concerned about how we look. And today as men, I can say to us that our biggest sin right now in the world today, the number one sin destroying men is pornography. That's our biggest sin. Talk about it, get help. And you need to figure out, why do I medicate with these pictures, with these movies and all this stuff? What is the stress that triggers me that direction? What is it that I'm not, why am I not going to God? Why do I run to this? That's our biggest hiding sin. And sometimes we just have other sins. We've settled in other issues. It can be all kind of issues. But purity is a big thing for men. Summer comes around and we can go crazy with how women dress. It says the women. Well, it's in our hearts.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Mark 7 talks about it. 20:21 goes about how it comes from the heart. When I'm tempted, I had to say, no, I don't have to look at twice. I need to keep going. Remember, it's a temptation first before the things happen. So hidden sin gets in the way of us doing what we should do. And we just harden. So the word doesn't do the work it should do. We just pull back and we're not confessing it. We're not dealing with it. It just keeps killing us. But if you talk about it with a person who can help you, it's not to shame you, help you. We're doing safe people now. Right? Are we doing safe people?
Yep.
So if you're doing safe people, you're in a good place. We can talk about this safely. Nobody's going to jump you and say, how can you do that? We're going to say, brother, Galatians 6 talks about restoring you gently. But can we talk about how this is coming about? And how can we help you do that well? Does that make sense? Don't be afraid. The devil is the one you should be afraid of. Not me. I'm trying to get to heaven. I hope we can all get there. Yes. Guilt. Oh, that's a big one. We don't even sleep because of guilt. Not safe people. Sometimes you confess sins and they say, how can you? How old have you been as a Christian? Man, I ain't talking about that again. But let's talk about guilt as well. Guilt really, it happens because it's triggered by self-preservation. And then how will people see me? And it goes down. But when you see that Jesus died on the cross to redeem you, then that guilt goes quickly and you want to go for forgiveness. It's the story of the prodigal son. And the guy that went out did all this silly stuff and came back and said, and the guy that stayed home and who said, help me. The difference, the Christian stayed home and was very angry, resentful. And we can be that. Christians that have been around and very angry and resentful. But the guy that went and squandered everything and said, man, God, I need to go back and I'll get it. That's he understood the grace of God. And that's the question. So today I want to encourage us to begin to question our hearts and say, where have I hardened? Do I respond when it comes to, we talk about, we've done many things, but that's not the issue. Do you respond to the word yourself in your private study? That's the big issue there. It's not this public thing, you know, I may say something that touches you that doesn't touch you, but your private study needs to be effective. Does that make sense? I mean, we can go so low that we don't even have a study. We don't read the Bible. We just play it in the car in I-85 when we're cruising and we're trying to dodge all the traffic, man. And then you get to the office and say, how did I get to the office? Because you're so wired to go, you're not in touch with what's happening. Have you been in that place sometimes? You get to somewhere, how did I get here? Well, it's a sign that you need to connect to the environment again and figure out what's happening. Start conscious living. This is the seed that fell on the path. I think that as Christians, sometimes we come to this place where our hearts don't get moved by the word. We intellectualize it. We philosophize it. Or we don't get to a place of repentance. And what that does is we stagnate. We don't impact married men. We have a lot of to cut. We got to impact our children, our wives, single men. You are looked upon by society and sisters that may hope one day it works out if the chemistry is right. No pressure. And everybody else, we have this challenge. The point is, you will not be able to do that this life without a connection to God. You cannot do it. It wears you down. You can do it. So that's the path. So the buds are that. All those things we've mentioned are the buds. So you got to ask yourself, what has hardened my heart? And what do I need to do different? There's prayer. You can pray about this. You can get in the study out about the hard heart. Figure out how does the heart change. Then as you do that, start looking at things you want to do differently and start connecting to that. And you'll be amazed how that impact moves in all spheres of your life. It's not a great place to live a fine Christian. You need to be a great, excited Christian going somewhere. Not just an okay guy. Amen? The second soil there was, he says, that was verses 4, Matthew 13, verse 4. As you're scattering the seed, some fell along the path. We've talked about that, and the buds came and ate it up. So we've described all the buds in our lives, right? Now let's talk about this other one. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. If you look at this, let me see if it works. This is rock, but there's soil over there. So if it goes up, it'll spring, but it'll not go beyond the rock. See the inches? It'll not go too far. So sometimes we hear the word and we have this excitement and inspiration, but we don't have the depth to carry us through. I mean, I was discussing something with John Young, and sometimes he was saying, sometimes we're big on width, but very shallow. He said we should be deep and narrow, so that we're on the narrow road, remember? Christians are on the narrow road, so we don't go wide. So we should be on the narrow road, but very deep. Does that make sense? Yeah. But sometimes we're so wide and very shallow, and he's talking about that the word was spoken, that's the seed was spread. It fell on the rock. It sprang up, but it couldn't go far. Why? There were rocks. What are the rocks in our lives? What is stopping us from being deep? Let's talk about that. What do you think stops you from being deep? Yes, Zach.
Family.
Family history. How so? You want to expound that?
Like, for example, issues that you had in your father and your lineage. For example, you know that your dad's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And you're susceptible to that.
So you can let family history start dictating your future a lot without you saying, hold on. How can I walk with God and turn this around? With the right brothers around, the right family around, this is your family of Christ. They can begin to nurture you to a turnaround. How can I do that so that my family history doesn't hold me down? Because sometimes we can take that and use it as a license to be who we are. This is who I am. But God is bigger than all that stuff. He can fix it. What is the other stuff that can be the rock that stops the root from taking place, from going deeper? Yes, Steve.
Diversity.
Can you expound on that?
Adversity, bad things happen.
Adversity.
I mean, just death, loss, losing your job, those kind of things.
True. Adversity is a tough thing to beat. I remember I went from a very lively kid in 2 years to a dead man walking. My grandfather, my favorite grandfather died. My favorite sister died, and my dad died in 3 years. And I was this lively guy, loved church, to dead man walking. I came to church. I never missed it. I stood around. I looked at people, and I wondered, why are they so happy? I was trying to fix what was going on. It took a year or so or two to come out of it. But once I was out of it, I figured, adversity, I had hit some turbulence and I lost my gliding. And I just felt like, okay, God, help us to fly through this one. And when you don't know when the pain will end, it can be tough. But with prayer and friends and scripture study, I got so close to God, I don't know when it turned around. I can't tell you when. I just know that I woke up one day and I was feeling like, I'm back to living. I'm done dead man living. I'm done that. It was prayer, the word, and moving on forward. And that is why, if you don't allow the word to take root, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous place to be. We're gliding the wrong side. What else stops roots from taking place? Yes, tortured.
Busyness.
Can I talk about that for a moment? Sometimes you think because you're doing a lot, you're being effective. Again, I have another quote on this one. It's not that busy is what makes you effective, or like big means I'm doing big stuff and I'm effective. No, it's how good are you doing the small things you're doing. That's what takes care of the big stuff. So you want to have a great day. You want to have a great start with your walk with God. You'll have a great day. Not how quickly you get done five things then. When we just moved here a year ago, I'd try to do 7 appointments sometimes, and I'd be wiped out. I go home, I'm like, man, what happened? It's like a truck ran over me. 7 is a lot in a day, and you're driving an average of 30, 25, 15 minutes, and you know, you're getting around. And I'm thinking, I think I need to rethink my strategy here. And I started rethinking, I says, what is the one thing that I should do well that takes care of a lot of things? And sometimes we think that because we're covering our ground, we're being effective. No, we're doing the hamster theory right now. We're just running, but we're not going very far. We need to take time to deepen, to do the one thing well. When I think about my role, I say, I need to do well as a minister. That's a role I have, and I need to do well that. I need to touch souls, help people well. As a father, I really need to do well. I'm connected with God first, and and as husband first, then a father, and all these things. And if I'm not doing those roles well, I'm rushing, going other things. I'm missing out on something. So the question becomes is, are you so rushed that you're not taking time to ask, have I connected with the most important thing? Did I talk to God today? You know, time can be like, you know, what do you call it? Knowing. Have you seen a dog knowing a bone? And it's not just getting there, it just turns around all the time. Time can do that to you. It can just gnaw at you. You got to learn to say, okay, it's 12 hours, but I got to walk with this. And calm down and figure out how to do this well. It's not that there's not enough time. It's our view of time that distorts it. We get rushed, we get anxious, and we start losing the vital things. And over time, we settle in a lifestyle that does not deepen us at all. So we become shallow people. We're not deep. Our wives wonder, why can't he understand? Because we don't take time to connect. Deeply. Yes, sir.
Another, for me, borrowed convictions.
Oh.
Building your own.
Borrowed conviction. What do you call it here? Let me make sure I get the right terminology. Hand-me-down convictions. Is that right?
Yeah.
Not secondhand, hand-me-down.
You cannot
live on hand-me-down convictions.
Right.
You can live on hand-me-down clothes and cars, but not convictions.
Amen.
How does that run? You come and hear a message, and that becomes your conviction. Amen. Take that, but can you drill it down yourself? There is power when we are all rising, not just me. We are all rising, not just the leaders. We are all rising spiritually. And there's something it does to the congregation and how we touch other people. But that is not magical. You got to get to drill yourself. Get a topic that you say, I need to understand this. Get in the Word. Not for knowledge's sake, for me to change. A lot of what I preach here is not for you. It's for me. I really don't say, if I can relate with that, surely they can. Because if I prepared it for you, I'll be a resounding gong. I need to be changing as well. This is not just go give people. It's me changing and sharing with you what I'm trying to walk with. There was a hand somewhere here. Yes, Ron.
Not being tied in or not being connected, whether it's fear of being vulnerable or not prioritizing the meaning of the body or building relationships.
Exactly. We can get to a point where we're not tied in. We think that we can survive alone. It doesn't work, guys. You need relationships. And we need to go to family groups, meetings. Go to meetings and really contribute, not just to go to show your face. So I want to contribute. How it's going on? And then reaching out to those that are not coming. Because if we're not doing that and waiting for the elders or for the leaders or for the deacons, whoever it is, the family group leader, it doesn't work. We all have to chip in to make it happen. Now, when you do that, relationships deepen you. But when you're deepening in relationships, sometimes there's conflict. And that is what we are afraid of. We just stay in our corners. We've got to learn to do conflict better. Save people. Do conflict a better way. And deepen yourself. Yes, sir. McPhee. Yeah. I want to challenge us on that. They're trying to come with an attitude of, I'll take something I can work on. The whole message can't apply to you, that's for sure. I can guarantee you that. But you may find one thing that you think, I can work with that. What? I can take that.
Right. I was thinking, so often we have no reflective thought. We are so occupied in looking at our phone, looking at TV, listening to the radio, that we constantly are keeping our mind occupied with other things than letting the Word of God percolate or think about its application in our lives.
Can we hold on this one? We're so distracted.
Yeah.
I mean, even today, I thought about it. I went to the gas station. I tried to gas my car. The advertisement was going, go inside and buy the PowerPoint. You may become a millionaire. I actually laughed at how he was advertising it to me. And I said to myself, okay, I get in the car. The next thing, I'm going to turn on the radio. I get home, I'm going to see the screen somewhere. And I said, you know, I really need to fight for my discipline. To wake up, to pray, to read the Bible, to have a conversation with the family, my wife, my children, to come and connect with you guys and not get caught up in the phone too much. And the reason why it's becoming harder to be deep is the media is doing a fantastic job keeping us busy. To the extent that we don't reflect. You know, I've realized that I like to sometimes sit in Starbucks in a corner and just think. And not look at the phone, just think. And like nobody's in that shop, it's just me and God and what I was thinking. That's it. They're all walking around, but I don't feel like they're there. I feel like I'm just in my own world until someone says, hey, how are you? I'm here. Good to see you. We need to do that more. Find a place you sit down and reflect. And deepen yourself. If you live in a hurry, you don't deepen yourself. We need to be reflective. Not morbid. Deepening yourself is reflecting. Even some of the issues in the house, you just think through them, you'll get a better solution. By praying through it, and you say, wow, that's how you do it. When you reflect, you become stronger, faithful, and you know that God is on His throne.
Amen.
My wife put this thing in, it says, he just says, no. What does he say? Know that. And he doesn't finish the sentence. And I figured, know that I am God. So whenever I read it, I'm like, I need to remember that. I need to remember that. Know that I am God. And I said, God is doing something here. What happens if we get weaker when we have no roots?
Yeah.
We fall over easily when challenges come. Stress takes over. We believe anything and everything. We don't take time to say, what does the scripture say? Yes, sir.
Just being a slave to your emotions, and that when things go bad, that's when you go to God.
Yeah.
Or even the opposite, when things go well, that's when you want to connect with God. And not just being consistent.
So in other words, the world determines how we're going to be. We are external people. We're not internal people at all. We move around, things dance around. And that's not healthy. If you're a father or a husband, you don't want the outside to determine it. You got to be with God, then you can lead that place well. Does that make sense? So these rocks is we need to be reflective about what's going on and deepen ourselves. Take time to reflect. It's a great thing. It builds your mind. It builds your heart, your conviction. Block out 20 minutes, 30 minutes just to think. You've read your Bible just to say, I need to figure this out. And sometimes we're in a hurry to do chapters. Sometimes just go through a verse and figure what is this talking about and reflect.
Yeah.
You know, we're always in a hurry to finish reading. I always ask myself, so you finish reading, what happens? Many of us have read the Bible over many times. What happens after that? The question is, how did it change you?
Yeah.
That is a substantive question.
Amen.
Here's what, you're growing within the rocks. Isolated, you're not connected, but you're also very shallow. Anything can come up pretty easy. When you're growing within the rocks, that's what happens. We're very isolated. Brothers, we gotta rebuild our friendship. We gotta rebuild our experiences here. I mean, we're having a prayer for the fathers on Father's Reagan. If you really want to make it come through, it's a great place to reach out to people as well. You know, you finish prayer, you can reach out to a few guys who are walking around. There are many things we can do together. Does that make sense? But it's just things we've got to really fight for. I mean, with Torchhold is going away, we're going to have that party. If you can make it, head out there. Have a good time. Don't just sit at home and watch a movie or whatever it is. Just step out. Get yourself out a little bit, but connect with people. The biggest challenge that technology has never figured out is how to give you the... They can get you to hear things. They can get you to see things. But they cannot get you to experience a human being the way we do when we're together. They're working on that, but I don't see it happening. That's not going to happen. They may try many ways, but I don't see that happening. I just see that they're going to get stuck with that. We're going to keep fighting for being together. God knows why we need the body of Christ. So that's what happens. We're weak when we're not deep. And that's what's happening to many of us. We're getting weaker in our spirituality because we're not deep, and we start to struggle with a lot of issues. Because we are not praying and reflecting. Our conversation should be around some things that we are walking through. And that should not distract you. Get deep in the Word of God. Amen? I mean, I was talking to my daughter. She says, Dad, our generation complains a lot. I'm like, okay, here we go. I said, what do you mean? We had this conversation. Dad, when you complain, you just become a victim. I said, wow, here we go. Started checking myself. Why I've been complaining a lot lately? What's going on here? She's turning 18 soon, so she's a lot. She sees that I don't see, you know. And I'm like, wow. She sees stuff. She's reflective. Because I've been telling her, I know you cannot spend the time you on phone like that. You got to cut down your time. I mean, the average teenager is doing about 10 hours on the phone. That is why empathy is dying out, because you're not talking to any human being. That American standards, they say that the thing that's not growing in America is empathy. People just look at it and say, oh, what's your problem? Keep going. Let's talk about this. We all know this, right? You know this, what is it? Who's in
cactus?
Takes over trees, right? Ketsum. Katsu. It takes over trees. Let's talk about that. Verses 6. But when the sun came, verse 6 says, but when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and withered because they had no roots. We just finished that. The lack of depth, we wither. And let me explain to you, when you wither, you're in church, but you're not flourishing. You're not alive. You're just there. You gotta be involved, connecting, touching other people's lives as we reach out to people, but even within ourselves, and really enjoying our lives with God. Does that make sense? Not just surviving. We don't want to wither. And part of that is just we settle. We let life just settle. We don't know how to say, okay, we got to get engaged. Let's do something here. Does that make sense? I'm in the business of just helping my family to really get going with different things. And I see the things we got to do, but they may be challenging, but I know that in time, we're going to deal with that in God's time. Does that make sense? But I also see what we will be as we begin to connect together and make it happen. So here in verses 7, other seed fell among thorns which grew up and choked up the plant. Katsu. You drive around to see what katsu does to trees. Huge tree, this thing takes over.
In the south, it's katsu.
Katsu. Yeah, katsu. Okay, let me get it right. Katsu, okay. How does that, if you think about your life, what's your katsu? What's your katsu that's just choking you down? Yes, Dan. Yeah. If you flirt with sin, you'll want more. You know the way that Yahoo would have all these advertisements on the side? If you click that, you're going to want more. And if you've been on the internet long enough, there are sites, there are things that come on you and you know, don't click. Don't go there. You know what's going to go wrong. So you got to come to that conviction that, you know, you don't touch that. You're going to go the wrong side. You got to stop telling yourself innocent stories. I was just innocently, something happened. Get over innocent stories instead of saying, I know what's going to go there. Somebody else wanted to say? Oh, yes.
I think even the things that start off as good things, like providing for your family.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, can eventually, over time, if you're not careful, become a thorn, become something that's hindering you from God.
Stuff that you start as a good reason, that's a good, like providing for your family, if you're not careful, that can take over you and hinder you eventually. So even good stuff, the devil figures out that these guys, you can't get them on the bad stuff. I'm going to get them on the good stuff. Yeah. Yes.
For me, I can get into frivolous conversations, and my life is packed enough that ends up pushing into my family.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's other distractions, obviously.
Being more intentional about what you're trying to do, with the time and what you're going. Yeah, being more intentional, yes.
I think being passionate, when you become more passionate about the things of this world rather than being passionate about God, being more passionate about the world.
This is a big one. We need to be passionate about the things of God than more of the world. Now, I like to watch sports. I like all that stuff, and it's exciting to do it. But be passionate about God, too. More.
Right.
More. Sometimes when I mention sports, we get a life, and we should. Because a man without a hobby is a dangerous man. You need to give him something to do. Give him some hobby. That's good, okay? Give a guy some hobby. That's good. But we need to have more passion for God as well. The idea that you're just not passionate, man, you gotta be passionate. I try to get in my house and say, we gotta go to church, we're going now. What time is, we're not supposed to leave now. They know I'm one to go to church. I'm not just sitting there and say, okay, whenever you're ready. I don't say, no, I tell them, we're leaving 6:55 on the dot.
Right.
Can we be in the car? 6:55, I'm sitting down, and they know, well, he's in there. I crank up the car, and they know, well, it's time to go. Because I don't want to fight before I come to preach. You see, you got to be calm with that. You may not do a good job. You may come and extend the fight to the congregation and be shouting to all the people and say, what's wrong with you guys? Well, your problem's at home. That's where you got to figure it out. Stop shouting at the people. So, but you got to be passionate about, let's do this stuff. Let's go do that. We're going to so-and-so's house. What time? Yeah, who's coming? Let's cook some food. Get involved.
Yeah.
Guys, it's so easy to give up your life. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you know the ratio of you being born between one? Do you know what ratio you have for you to survive birth, just to be born? What is the ratio? 1 in 4 trillion. So you're not an accident. That's why you have a unique eye, unique thumb. You're 1 in 4 trillion. Then you're going to come in the world and waste it with just being, let's see what happens. And come on, man. Do some justice of that time you're given. Get involved. Get passionate about seeking and saving the lost. Get passionate about serving people. That's how it works. But if you don't understand who God is and what He's doing in your life, you cannot manufacture that. And that is, again, katsu. Comes up, takes over. It chokes you, and before you know it, man, you're just like, I got to be like everybody. You're not everybody. You are you. By God called you by your name. He predestined you to be His son. He wants you to do something. Yes, sir.
So one of our favorite words in our family, inertia.
Inertia.
Objects at rest tend to remain at rest. You ever thought about how little, when you're watching TV and you see a sitcom or a family on TV, how much time do they spend watching TV?
Wow.
Well, yeah, they don't do that because there's no story when you're watching someone watch TV.
Yeah.
You're not making a story of your life.
There's no story.
But you're so filled with inertia. I'm here.
Just sitting. He brings up a point that's very interesting. I thought I would talk about it on Sunday, but we can talk about it today. Amen. It's just the idea that some of us have a handbrake on.
Yeah.
We're just making donuts. If we're not moving, we know that's how you make donuts, right? You gun it and you handbrake it. And just, it's swinging around. You're like, what happened? A lot of noise, but smoke, but nothing's happening. You got to ask yourself, what is the handbrake you have on? And we'll talk about it a little bit on Sunday.
Interesting.
But that's all katsu. Taking over. Yes, sir.
I was thinking we have relationship issues. We don't resolve conflicts. And over time, you have more and more of those that add up.
Conflict issues that you don't resolve will eventually choke you out. That's true. Let's finish this. Time is up. You want to get here. This is where you want to be. That's a good place, right? It says, still other seed fell on good soil where they produced crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, let him hear. So this is where you want to go. You want to be effective, happening. We've discussed all those things to say, if you did that right, you'll get to this place. But the quantum of growth is this. This is the hard place, path, along the path. That's hard, rocky, not improving it. Among the thorns, not doing well. Soft heart is good soil. So you've got to ask yourself, where are you sitting on this quantum? Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? Or are you here? We all need to keep going here. But I can guarantee you sometimes we come back here. But we need to keep coming back here again. Does that make sense? I say all that to say that I think today I want to express that when you read this scripture, read it for you as a Christian. Don't think, oh, this is for the guy who never became a Christian. There's a Christian who has these issues going on in their lives, myself included. So we all have to repent and keep going the right direction. Amen. This evening, I hope you were encouraged to re-evaluate, to know how to deepen yourself, to start having an impact, and purposefully move forward and deepen. If we do that, we'll help the world to know God. If we do that, we'll lead better in our homes. If we do that, we'll parent better. If we do that, we'll have better relationships with one another. The church will flourish. God bless you.